What is good, people? You are now listening to the 49th episode of True Two Sides.
What is going on, party people? And welcome to True to Size. We are a weekly podcast centered around the wild world of sneakers. I will be your host today. My name is Lawrence Hopkins, and I am joined by the rest of the team at Canada Got Soul, Joel Hernandez. And Alvin Martinez.
Hello,
what's up? Are these mics working? Do you think they're... What's up, boys? I'm glad we all made it. Just so everybody knows, we are like risking life and limb to be here tonight.
Oh, for real?
Like, it is Snowmageddon 7.0 of this winter.
Yep.
Skating rink.
But we're out here, and we have a good episode for you guys today. Today on True to Size, we're going to cover a Wall Street-type headline stemming from the sneaker world. I don't know if you guys saw this. It's pretty crazy. Ooh. Along with the list of top 10 selling sneaker silhouettes of 2018. Yaga. And we're going to round out the show covering culture. What is it? Why is it culture. Important? Where does it come from? And what's wrong with it right now, if anything?
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah. But first, Alvin.
Fire round.
Nice.
That was almost. Pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good.
I've been practicing.
Need more rasp.
Yeah.
More rasp. We like to start every show with a quick hitting question from you, our listeners. And this week's question comes from at Aldred R87 from Alberta.
Yo, Aldred.
You may know him better as the guy who wins way too many NetMag raffles.
Yeah.
Too many. Ruben A, I believe it is.
Yes.
Man wins way too much. He says, longtime listener, first time comment question. He said, your soul poll made me laugh and remember the movie Dazed and Confused, where one of the paddles was named the soul poll. I didn't watch the movie, so I don't know what that reference means. Keeping with the throwback theme, what sort of retro do you feel like they need to bring back, regardless of the brand or how well it would do?
Mm-hmm.
His answer, so you guys have some time. He said, I would have to go with some of my old high school... What the heck was that?
I don't know.
I would have to go with some of my old high school kicks. My old man always brought me up pairs of PEs from the States when he traveled, and I got attached to some Dada Supreme C-dubs that Chris Webber was rocking. He had a pair with the air pump, and then every time he took a step, the wheel would spin. So he would love to see those come back. What do you guys think?
One pair that I've always wanted and never, ever, ever had, but always, like, literally sought after, kept looking on whatever forum you can think of, is the Cool Grey 4.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I just want it to retro, like, actually retro, and them not to, like, change anything about it, like, at all. Or if you're gonna do something like off-white, the like patina the midsole,
make it look vintage.
But that's it.
Yeah,
yeah. Other than that, like you have to keep everything the same. Like you have the same way they're retroing like the six, the Infrared six.
You have heard that they're coming back this year, right?
I have.
Okay,
but I have. But like
you're hesitant to get excited,
man. Yeah, yeah.
With a lot of those classic pairs, though, they've been doing a pretty decent job. Like, I think they did a good job executing the Concorde.
Yeah.
And I think they did a good job with Black Cements.
Oh, yeah.
I think they did a good job with Infrared 6s this weekend. And I think there looks like they did a good job with Bred 4s. So they're on a good streak right now.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Joel?
I don't know. Like me and whenever I run into, like, Jay from Time, we always talk about, like, old school Nike basketball shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm talking about, like, the Air Flight 90s, you know, Ultra Force, those Air Force 5s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if those were to come back, then, I don't know, that'd be pretty dope to see. So, I don't know, hopefully in the near future those come around.
I think my answer, and I feel like it might come to fruition soon, like it looks like it might, is the BB4.
Yeah.
So same thing, like an older Nike basketball shoe. Because like as well as you guys, I was like huge Vince Carter guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wanted a pair of BB4s. Like, I remember going with my mom to Foot Locker when I was a kid. I must have been like 10 years old, saying, we went to Payless, not Foot Locker, because my mom was not about the Foot Locker life in 2002 or 2001. And I was trying to explain to the lady at Payless, it's like, it has a shock in the back, like it has like a spring, and she's like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about, kid. Yeah. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about, man. And I was like, damn, like, I really want these shoes, and I never got them. So that's what I would like to see come back in, like, a cool vintage Raptor colorway, like purple.
Remember when they retroed like a bunch of his other shocks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But not the BB. No, they did.
They did the BB4, but they did it in like a navy. They did neon. It in like a black and neon. Yeah. I want,
it was
like
a USA colorway.
Yeah. The navy one was the one he dunked over what's his face in. The 7-footer.
French guy.
Yeah.
French
guy. But I want either red or purple. So if anyone out there has a BB4 in red or purple, I will pick that up from you.
Like the white, silver, and red?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Or a white and purple to go with the dinosaur jersey.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ruben. And if you want to share any of that luck on a NetMag raffle, send it our way because we can use it.
Yo, word. Size 11.
If you would like to submit a question for the fire round and have us answer it on the podcast, please shoot us a message on Instagram or email us at canadagotsoul@gmail.com. Next up is the CGS picks. Each week, we all pick an upcoming sneaker to analyze, dissect, and give our thoughts on. Then we decide if it's poop, scoop, whoop, diddy doo, whoop, doop, doop, or Alvin's favorite.
Just cute.
Just cute. We'll start with Joel this week. What do you got?
My pick was the upcoming Jordan 1 OG Defiant Couture.
Couture.
Couture. It's like a
You're a Lux boy now.
Yeah, man. Like, I saw this. I'm like, let's talk about how doo-doo this is. So, I don't know. We were just talking about it just before the pod, and I was like, man, that would probably be cooler if it was, like, in a red and black upper with the black bar. Kind
like
of thing,
it was being
of,
blocked out.
Yeah, sort of like the band, you know,
yeah,
commercial, like back in 87 or 84, 84 or 85, something like that. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I've seen like a lot of pictures coming up on Instagram of like, you know, how like customizers would like mess around with the red bar, you know, throwing up Supreme in it and stuff.
Mm.
So I don't know. A lot of play can go into it with customizers, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's a doo-doo. It's a no cop.
It's a poop for you?
It's a poop. Straight.
I just
poop.
Looked at the comments really quickly while we were talking about it on the Sneaker News article.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody commented, so it's a Cyber Monday one with a red streak. No thanks. And now it's ruined for me. If I didn't like it before, now I really don't like it now.
Oh, yeah. That's so true, bro.
It really is.
Worst.
Like the sale midsole and outsole is pretty dope, but.
That's about it. That's where it starts and ends, pretty much, I think. I agree. Unless there's some crazy extra that we don't know about, which I doubt there is. It looks like it's almost patent leather on the upper. Like, it's shiny.
Yeah, sort of.
I don't know, man.
I mean, it's couture because it's ugly.
Or I guess it's because different. It's couture because, like, you know, the fashion, they got, like, those red streaks on their eyes, those red bars on their eyes.
Are you thinking, like, Zoolander? Is that what you're basing this off of?
Like, Zoolander kind of thing, dude. Right? You know what I
That's
mean?
About the extent of my fashion knowledge. So,
but I don't know. I guess if people want to scoop these, they drop February 23rd. They go for $175.
But if you do scoop it, just know Joel won't like them.
No.
So, I mean, that's kind of already you're in the negatives. Alvin, what you got?
I got draft day. Kobe Bryant.
Hey, Wiggins.
Hey. So, I got the Kobe Bryant Pro Tro 4. The draft day. This is dope, man. I'm honestly like really, really excited that they're getting into the four.
Yeah, you love the four.
Four, five, and six are like, I feel like when you started going low cut.
Yeah.
And man, like, that's and just the silhouettes themselves are like sexy. So the colorway itself is dedicated to how he was acquired by the Lakers. So essentially what he did was impress the Lakers during the summer leagues. And then so the Lakers wanted him. So what they did was they traded the rights to Vlade Divac.
Pretty fair trade, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's pretty even.
Around that time, though, Vlade was the man, though. So essentially, like, they got the Horn, the Lakers got the Hornets 13th overall pick, which is crazy, man, because Kobe got picked 13th.
I didn't realize he went 13th. That's wild.
That's it?
That's crazy.
Yeah. And it's Kobe, like,
yeah,
one of the GOATs.
One of the GOATs.
You know what I mean? But, damn, that was cool. And yeah, so it's a homage to the Charlotte Hornet colorway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool because it's got the date on the back heel.
Saw that, yeah.
And it's also on the insole as well.
Is that the date he got drafted, I'm assuming? Yeah.
Yeah, 96. Cool. 96.
That's crazy. I was 4.
Damn. Wow. 4. I was 9, bro.
Damn.
Yo.
I was old.
Drew, so these are set to drop on the 15th.
This weekend.
So if you're listening to this on Friday,
mm-hmm,
or yesterday, it's a price mark of US 175,
$215 Canadian.
Yeah, these are cute.
They're cute.
Yeah, man.
These are cute. I don't know if this is specifically a colorway that I would purchase. Definitely love the silhouette, but
it's not the homage to Charlotte.
Yeah, and the whole story of the behind
All-Star
it.
Game is in Charlotte.
And Charlotte for sure.
It's very good timing for sure.
Very, very cool. But yeah, just a cute for me. No, nothing. I mean, I definitely hyped up about it.
Yeah, because
I'm like
the fact that the fours are coming back though. That's why.
Yeah, and I want to see what other colors they drop.
Yeah,
but yeah, we'll see.
It's an exciting time because I remember maybe a couple of years ago, I guess before they started doing all the Kobe Prelude and Fade to Black stuff, everyone was talking about like, when are LeBron's going to start retroing? When are Kobe's going to start retroing? When are KD's going to start retroing? Yeah. And now it's happening.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like we're in the future right now.
It's crazy.
It's kind of exciting to see. Like, imagine once they start retired. Well, Kobe's retired, but like, imagine when LeBron retires because he's already getting so many retros. Like, bruh, I'm excited. Yeah. I just want to see some crazy shit, man. I want to see some LeBron South Beaches getting retro. Like some crazy stuff. Like these are.
Like
cool,
the eights.
Yeah, South Beach eights, like crazy stuff get retroed. Like they're doing good stuff. Don't get me wrong, but I feel like they're teasing us with like half decent releases. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of LeBron, segue. Wow. My pick this week, although I do hate LeBron, is the Watch the Throne LeBron 16.
Oh yeah,
did you guys see these?
Yeah, I like how they're keeping that color scheme though.
Yeah,
like
man. Colorway. So back in 2011, when Watch the Throne came out by Jay-Z and Kanye, I didn't go to that tour. I'm so fucking mad.
The retro it, don't worry.
They released the LeBron 9, inspired by the tour and inspired by the album art. And it was a PE only, like family and friends couldn't get it anywhere. The jewels and the laces were like handmade or something. I remember watching a special on that. But now images have surfaced of a LeBron 16 in that same colorway with the big ass spiky lace locks.
Yeah.
So there's a couple rumors swirling around them. They're not sure if it's an All-Star drop because it's rumored to drop this weekend or if it could be like a LeBron watch scenario, what they did last year. But I'm just hyped, man. Like the LeBron 16 aesthetic wise isn't the best for me. But these are definitely a possible scoop. We'll call it cute for now.
Yeah.
Just because I'm really excited and I love Kanye, as everybody now knows. Yeah. Definitely possible scoop / cute for me.
Yeah.
It is now time. Oh wait, I lied. See, I almost missed it. I knew I was gonna miss it. I have a bonus for you guys.
Nice.
Because it's All-Star Week, I want to know what the CGS squad would pick from this week to pick up. Like, what's your CGS pick for All-Star Week releases? Anything.
Like you get one pair. Whatever's dropping?
Yeah, from this week.
The sixes.
Yeah, that would be your pick?
Yeah.
You too, Joel?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what else is dropping?
Yeah, what
aside
else?
From like...
Let me take again.
We got Blue Chill, those patent leather UNC ones. The day after is Turbo Green ones, which I know you like.
Yeah, those are...
You are copying it?
I didn't say that because I'm going to cop them. Because they're cheaper than...
That is Infrared 6. And then I think that's when all the Nike basketball stuff's coming out. So you have that Kyrie... Yeah. Kyrie 5... What are they on now? Kyrie 5 Rocket collab. And then they have the all pink KD. And then they have the Hyper Adapt BB. And then there's the all green Curry. And then there's a bunch of stuff this week, man. It's crazy.
That Ant Pearl KD.
Ant Pearl KD 11. Yeah. 10?
Those are cute.
11. 11. I can't keep up anymore, man.
11.
So you're going with Infrared? Joel, you too?
Yeah, yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, the runner-up was going to be the curry.
I love that curry, man.
That vault is
so sick. Yeah. I think my pick is going to be the HyperAdapt BB.
True.
Those are cool too, man.
It is cool, and I'm assuming in this philosophical fantasy that we're talking in right now that the shoe we're picking is free, so that's why I would pick that shoe, because I would never pay that $5 for that shoe.
Is that what they're going for?
$450?
I don't even know. It's going to be upwards of $5, I think. They haven't announced pricing anywhere.
$450 US.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Somewhere astronomical that I could never justify for a basketball shoe.
$550 Canadian.
Like, bro, we play in a dusty gym on Thursdays in an elementary school. Like, if I pull up in an auto-lacing $500 basketball shoe to that run, like, I'm going to shoot myself in the face. Like, there's no way I could do that. I might as well just wear my Supreme shooting sleeve and then, like, a hardwood classic basketball jersey. Yep. Like...
Don shorts.
I did see them in person this week though. And they are really cool. I will give it that.
They're cool. Yeah. Yeah.
They're very cool. Like,
are
seeing
they comfy? Like, how do they feel?
So I tried on the HyperAdapt and the Adapt BB. Mm-hmm. The basketball version is definitely a lot more comfortable. Like, you can feel the Kushlong cushioning. Mm-hmm. You can definitely see the advancements that they made in the lockdown of mm-hmm. the shoe because it's performance. Mm-hmm. It's not a comfortable shoe. Like, it's not a React mm-hmm. or anything like that, but it's a decent shoe.
Not yet.
Mm-hmm. Not yet, yeah. But I was saying this to my friend earlier in the week. I think I would go with the HyperAdapt first one is what I think I would go for.
I think that one's more wearable.
That's exactly why. Yeah. Like I said, I would never, if I did end up paying the $5 million for the BB, like I'm not going to play ball in it.
No.
So where am I going to wear it? Like, aesthetically, the HyperAdapt, I think, is a lot easier to wear.
I agree.
Yeah, that was the bonus I had for you guys that I almost missed. Now it's time for This Week in Kicks. This is the part of the show where we discuss the current headlines and happenings in the world of sneakers. And this week, we have four items on our agenda. The first one comes from Alvin, actually. He showed us this one. Is Don C working with Nike on the KD12? It sure looks like it.
Mm-hmm.
So in the latest episode of ESPN Plus, the ESPN Plus original series, The Boardroom, Don C hinted at what he's been working on with Nike. He said, "I'm working on the KD12, the stories that we're telling, the sauce that I think I can add. I want to sauce. I want to tell some stories about KD's inspiration, things that he's into that we can now message through the product." So I don't know if he's designing it. Doesn't sound like he's designing it. It sounds like he's going to work on some storytelling and colorways and execution.
Yeah.
Because the same guy has been designing KDs for I think since they started.
Mm-hmm.
But that's pretty cool. They're clearly reaching out to more and more designers and streetwear heads for this kind of stuff. So,
and I trust Just Don. Like, he always gets the non-hype silhouettes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And and absolutely does his thing. Kills them.
Like the twos. Like, the quilted on
the
twos.
Like both colorways.
Yeah.
What? Crazy.
I agree. I do, like I said, I like that they're reaching out to more and more designers and they're listening to the people. Like, the people are saying, we want these people on the stuff, and they're doing it.
I feel like you can make it more street wearable.
Definitely. Because that's what they used to be, back 2010, 2012 times, Nike basketball was people wearing in the street. That's why they made so many LeBron 9s. There was 100 different colorways of LeBron 9s, and they were all worn.
Team had a colorway.
Exactly. Yeah, there were so many releases, and they all sold out because people were rocking them with jeans. And I think they're trying to go back to that. We've mentioned it so many times that it seems like basketball is coming back, and this is another showing of that. Next up, another one from Alvin, actually. The list of the top 10 selling sneakers from 2018 has been released. Did you guys go through it? So for anyone who hasn't seen it, we'll go through it real quick. This is just silhouettes. It's not specific colors. And if you guys want to stop me at any time while I go through this list and comment, go ahead. Number 10, start from the end. Mm-hmm. Nike Air Force One Low. No surprise there. Mm-hmm. Number 9, Adidas Yeezy Boost 350. Number 8, the Nike Flex Contact. I don't know what that is.
Get it.
Nike Revolution 4.
there's a four, so it's
that means there was three other ones, yeah. And they're probably gonna make three more after it. Yeah. The Vans Ward, which looks a lot like an old school.
Yeah.
A Huarache. Jordan 11. Chuck Taylor All-Star Low. Mm-hmm. The Air Max 270. And number one, the Nike Tangent. Ooh. Everyone has a pair of Nike Tangents in their collection, don't they? Put your hand up if you have one.
I never knew the Tangents existed until this list.
The only reason I knew that shoe existed is because I worked at Sivu Play, and that was our bread and butter at that store. And you something if that's the bread and butter of Sivu Play.
Yeah.
But yeah, what do you guys take from this list? Because I thought it was really interesting, actually.
I feel like it's showing us that even though the whole sneaker community seems like bigger, mm-hmm. it's still not as big as a general pop.
It's not.
No.
I'm glad you brought that up. You know what I mean? It has a lot to do with what we're talking about later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
Totally.
I was kind of surprised to see the 350 V2 on the list, but it also shows you how many pairs were released last year. Yeah. Like, it showed, like, yeah. I mean, like we always say, Kanye said he wanted everyone to have a pair, and if it was number nine, I think it was on the list, like, that's wild. Air Jordan 11, I mean, they said there was a million pairs of Concords, and they clearly were not lying. And like Alvin said, there's not a lot of hype on that list.
No.
Like,
no.
At all.
No.
There is a lot of Nike on that list, though.
There is.
It's almost all Nike. Heavy. Like,
there's Vans and Adidas on there.
There's, yeah, one Vans, one Adidas, one Converse.
Yeah, but Converse is related, so.
That's true, actually.
Converse is related to Swoosh.
You're 100% correct with that.
But, yeah, man, I just found it interesting.
That's super interesting.
Yeah.
It's like the Tangents number one.
Yeah. Like I said, I wouldn't have known what a Tangent was if I didn't work at Sivu Play. It looks, for anyone listening, it looks a lot like a Roche run. Like, that's what they updated. Yeah. That's what their update was to the Roche, I'm pretty sure. Next up, I'm assuming everyone saw this because it was everywhere on the internet. The Travis Scott ones finally released.
Did they?
You didn't know? Oh, no. I was like, what?
I don't have
So yeah, immediately following his Grammy performance on Sunday, Nike had a shock drop of the reverse swoosh Air Jordan 1 on the sneakers app that sold out in under a minute. Surprise, surprise. What do you guys think of this shock drop stuff? Because they did it last year with the Super Bowl. And now they did it again.
Well,
and
I feel like people were anticipating it this year.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
People definitely this year's Super Bowl. Everyone thought something was going to happen.
Men's already on the sneakers.
Yeah. After. They weren't even watching the Super Bowl. Do you guys like the shock drop stuff? Well, I mean, for us, I guess it doesn't really matter because we don't have access to the sneakers app anyways.
I think it's pretty cool. Like,
the whole
idea about it. You know what I mean? It gets everybody like thinking.
Yeah. Like, when's it going to come out? When's it going to come out? I actually had this conversation with another friend this week, and he was like, man, I wish we had sneakers. Oh, I'm so salty, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And when I really started thinking about it, I was kind of like impartial. Like, I do want to have a sneakers app in Canada or something like it.
Yeah.
But for something specific like this, like, Europe didn't get access, as far as I know, to this. This was USA only. So even if we had the sneakers app, it wouldn't make a difference for Canada in the first place, especially because we share stock with the EU. Mm-hmm. And it never lines up anyways. Like, they just got the Serena Williams Off-White Blazer like last week. And those came out in like October or something. Yeah.
What?
So, I mean, in that sense, I'm glad we don't have sneakers because we would get stuff dumb late. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for something like this, it makes no difference. Like, everyone who's saying, I wish we had it. Like, just know we probably wouldn't have access to this stuff anyways.
Yeah.
And last up, a really, really big topic that has everything to do with what we're talking about later. I don't know if you guys heard about this or not. Foot Locker just invested $100 million in GOAT.
Really?
I didn't even know about it. Yeah, I heard about it.
You heard about it?
Yeah.
So basically, Foot Locker's calling it an investment, and they're also calling it a partnership. For those of you who don't know what GOAT is, it's basically like StockX. It's a resale platform that's solely digital. So it's an app and it's a website. Can buy, sell used and new shoes. Basically, you can price them whatever you want and resell them. So GOAT Group founder Eddie Liu suggested any of Foot Locker's 3,000 retail stores could become physical access points for GOAT's digital marketplace.
So it's just like an iPad on the floor.
I think so?
Like, yeah. Like, you're not going to have the physical shoe there.
I don't know. Like, I wrote down a couple possibilities just like thinking about it of what the partnership could be. So, first of all, Like, did you guys know that Nike sells their stuff on Amazon?
Yes.
Like, officially. Like, yeah. Nike sells on Amazon. So I'm thinking that Foot Locker could use GOAT as a similar platform. So if they're going to do an online release, sell it on GOAT for retail.
Yeah.
I mean, it's direct to consumer still. It's just another platform to, for them to sell stuff. Brick and mortar Foot Locker locations, which is honestly what it sounds like they're hinting at, because in Foot Locker's press release, they say the same thing. Brick and mortar Foot Locker locations could serve as pickup and drop off points for GOAT transactions. So True. If you sell something or buy something from GOAT, it gets shipped to Foot Locker, or you ship it out of Foot Locker, and then they could possibly even authenticate it there instead of sending it to some office in, I'm not sure where GOAT, I think it's in LA. And I feel like the far end of the spectrum, which I don't know, I feel like it's not that far out of the realm of possibility, is maybe one day we'll see plastic wrap shoes being resold on the footwear wall beside the Nike Tangent. Could you imagine like walking in and seeing like in Foot Locker, like retail Nike Tangents and Old Schools or whatever they called it, and like a Red October beside it sitting on the wall in a Foot Locker? Like, this whole thing seems so problematic to me. Yeah. Like, there's so many reasons why I don't like this, but I want to know what you guys think about it too, because I'm about to go off, so I'm gonna give you guys like an opportunity to if you have anything to say.
I don't know, it's messed up.
It's definitely messed up.
It's like they're selling out.
Yeah,
100%. Thing, you know yeah, what I
mean? And it just makes, I guess, sneakerheads look, I don't know, bad,
dumb.
Yeah,
makes us look like idiots.
Yeah, I know, right? I don't know, man. Then there wouldn't be like an exclusive kind of thing, because it's like, oh, it's at Foot Locker.
Yeah, you know, it's still, I mean, at quote unquote Foot Locker. Yeah, 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 yeah. It's so, being sold through GOAT, which is Foot Locker.
I'm not about it at all. So,
what do you think, Alvin?
They're just trying to get rid of the mom and pop, like middleman.
Yeah, that too, man.
Consignment stores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. You think?
Because like, I don't know, and then obviously GOAT's gonna hop on because. Why not take
it? Well, I mean, like, yeah, it's like they they called it a partnership. So it's not just an investment. Like, if it was just an investment, I guess it would be a little bit different. Still really, really sus that Foot Locker, who's supposed to be connecting consumers with stuff at retail price, is also making money when you buy resale off that same product. So like kind of what Joel said, he said they sold out. And I mean, in a sense, it's kind of genius from Foot Locker's point of view. Like, it's... Do you guys know how Ticketmaster has the resale option on their own website?
Yeah.
Did you know that? Yeah. Like, isn't that kind of messed up that you can buy, like, Ticketmaster will sell you a ticket for retail and then resell it on the same platform. And their logic is, well, if it's going to be done, we might as well, like, facilitate it so it's done cleanly and legally and safe and all that kind of stuff.
But Foot Locker isn't Nike. It's not Adidas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you're representing all these brands. And you're selling them for retail. Like, it's not your brand to be able to say,
I'm going to sell it for a buck. Because then who's to say that it doesn't just get flipped right to resale, right? Like, So, to me, this looks like Foot Locker's trying to put their eggs in more than one basket. Obviously, on both ends of the side. Like, the spectrum, I guess. Yeah. So, they win on the initial sale because they sold it to you. And they bought it for bulk. And then they sell it to you for the 50% markup.
Yeah.
And then... when you resell it, they take that percentage that you resold and you gave to GOAT. They're winning on that one too. So that's really messed up to me. Yeah.
So if there's like a big major release, are they going to hold pairs back?
That's what I mean. Like, there's many like question marks.
I feel like they do that already though.
Yeah.
But now it could be at like GOAT. A corporate level. Like, yeah. I don't know.
I feel like they do that already though.
It's also, it kind of goes
surprise
both.
Drop.
Surprise drop. Yeah.
Or like restock.
Restock, quote unquote.
Restock's
yeah.
not a restock.
Yeah.
Chill.
So, like, they play a role in their own success in the sense that if Foot Locker does well, then GOAT does well.
Yeah.
Because that means all the pairs are selling at Foot Locker and they're going to get resold on GOAT. So, they're going to get more pairs. Like, Foot Locker's going to get more pairs on the next release. And then, like, it's just like an endless cycle.
Like,
and if GOAT's doing well, that means Foot Locker's going to do well because stuff's selling on GOAT. So, people are going to come in and buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's really messed up. Like I said, business wise, I think it's, of course, like, they wouldn't be here if it wasn't for money, but that shit's wild to me, bro.
Sell out.
We'll get into that in a minute, though. That's the main topic this week. Previously in Kicks, this is the part of the show where we review our latest pickups and recap the latest happenings in our sneaker lives. You guys pick up anything within this past 7 days?
I had a big Costco haul.
Oh yeah, what did you get, man?
Some salt? Man, Cavendish French fries.
Ooh.
Hey. You guys aren't on that from Costco.
No, you got it from Costco. Mini eggs.
Oh yo,
yeah, they have like a 5-pound bag of mini eggs.
That's crazy.
It lasts me a whole week.
That lasts me like a whole day.
No pickups. No sneaker pickups.
Yeah, no.
No sneaker pickups.
Ask me next week.
Ooh. We won't be here next week though. We'll ask you in 2 weeks.
Side note, guys, we're taking a break. Just a week break.
Just a week just off. A week.
Just because our next episode's the 50th, then we want to
wrap up Vince Carter style.
We want to, we want to get that slam dunk like 50-50-50-50-50 for you guys.
The only thing that I received this week from Under Armour actually was the Unstoppable collection. So it was a care package which had some dope stuff in it. I'm actually wearing some of it right now. So it was cargo style pants with like a drawstring at the bottom, and then a crew neck, and then like a windbreaker jacket, and also a pair of Hover SLK Evos, which is like a super sleek,
those are sleek
Hover.
Yeah.
And like a rigid outsole too. Like it almost feels like it's meant for outdoor running specifically. Kind of, yeah.
That's dope.
But yeah, the collection is super dope. It's available now on underarmour.ca. If you guys are interested in it, you can check my story. It should still be, well, not by the time you listen to this, actually. Don't check my story.
Don't check your story, guys.
Check out underarmour.ca. It'll be up there. You can match it with your Curry 6 Koi All-Stars, because those are dope.
True.
Next up, errors, edits, and e-messages. Shout out to Line and the Pickat, because once again, we might shout you out every single time we say that.
We should.
We're pretty smart guys, but from time to time we make mistakes. So if you catch us slipping up, hit us in the DM and we'll let the world know that we goofed. Yes. The only thing that I have this week is from JB Sika, aka Josh from Dirty Bird.
Brother Josh.
So this is still, it's been an ongoing feud now, pertaining to the Jordan 1 Phantom. Basically, is it white? Yeah. Is it white or is it sale? Mm-hmm. He hit us in the DM and said, I swear the first leak color codes were white. Then as soon as I heard you guys mention it on the pod, I saw this, and now every post I see says sale in the color code.
That just goes to show that whatever we say,
we know
to fruition.
Everything. He man tried to jump in and say he had an error, and now it just turned into an e-message right then and there. Nice try, Josh. Don't check us.
But you need to come on the pod, though.
You do need to come on the pod.
We're going to
have
pod,
a Dirty Bird night and do the pod down at Dirty Bird for sure. Ooh. If we can even manage, because we're just going to hear.
Oh, yeah. Him and Aaron, too.
You're just going to hear our eating the whole time. Yeah, what's up? Thank you guys again for that.
Yeah, for real.
That was super fun.
Yeah, man.
Those festivals were so good.
Oh, my God. Shout out to Brian Butler Cooks, man.
Yes.
Shout out.
Crazy
and
good
Dirty
food.
Bird,
and
like
Dirty
Tio.
Bird and
you
all that
are
stuff.
Crazy.
Promos. We got a contest. Tell them about that, Alvin.
Ooh, the New Balance. Oh, sorry. So we, CGS, are giving away the Sneaker Freaker X New Balance 997. Essentially, it's like a history book. Mm-hmm. Literally anything about 997 is in that book. And we have one for you guys. And all you have to do is literally put on your New Balances, take a picture, post it on the Insta, and hashtag it CGS X New Balance 997.
Thanks again to New Balance for those books.
Yeah, man.
Those are super cool. And it's not just a book. It comes with like, well, did we decide what they are? Patches? Or sticker or a patch? None of us has opened today. I don't want to take it out. It's too cool
pickers,
in the packaging.
It's the patches.
Patches and stickers.
And a poster. A really
big poster.
Oh, that
poster was crazy.
Super, super sick. Dope. On to the main discussion. Culture. So this, like I said, stemmed from that Foot Locker investment in GOAT. And like I said before, business wise, it's genius from their point of view.
Oh, yeah.
Like on the stock market side, perfect, good for them. I think they're gonna make a lot of money with that. But the whole partnership seems really bad for the culture. But obviously, like, culture isn't even their concern. Like, they don't care at the end of the day, they just care about making money.
Mm-hmm.
So just right off the bat, so we can get a frame of mind behind this. What do you guys, like, how would you define culture, sneaker culture? Like, how would you give it a definition or explain it to somebody? Like, if you were in this boardroom with these, I'm assuming, old white guys talking about, like, this is a bad idea for the culture, and they were like, but it's good for money. How would you explain it's what the culture is blank?
I feel like it's young white guys right now.
whatever these white guys are doing.
That were resellers.
Yeah, clearly, yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, culture in itself, I think it's... I don't know, it's like a... I wouldn't say like a movement kind of thing, but in a way, it sort of is, because we're all like... We all know, you know, who's who, pretty mm-hmm. much. It's not like... Not literally, figuratively speaking, like who's who, like your Lawrence, your Alvin. I mean, like, you know what's up mm-hmm. with that guy, or you know what's up with that girl, kind of thing. So it's sort of like, I don't know, how would you explain it?
So it's like I would say it's the identity of the sneaker community, in a sense. Mm-hmm.
I think it's just one of like it's almost it's an identity, and it's like what holds it together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's the reason that a lot of older heads and definitely some younger heads are in it in the first place. Like, it's not just the shoe's nice. Like, that's the top of the iceberg, the tip of the iceberg, but the whole bottom part is the culture behind it. Mm. Like, the culture is being driven by people who are passionate about the brand and the story and the history, and not about this is worth X amount of dollars. Yeah. Because if we were... cared about that, we would all just sell our collections and buy a nice house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I should do that.
So, and I think it's kind of an ever-changing thing, and it kind of means something different to a lot of people, but at mm-hmm. the end of the day, it's all very similar in what it means.
Yeah.
So what does it mean to you? Like, where does it come from for you? Like, mm-hmm. where does it come from for you, Joel? Like, where did the culture start to manifest itself inside of you, and then where did it grow? How did it grow?
Yeah, the way for me, because you know, as a young buck,
you're still a young buck.
You know what I mean? But like, taking it back,
he was a younger buck.
it all revolved around music for mm-hmm. me, and for me, it was like all about like you know, like hip hop, mm-hmm. and hip hop drove like the sneaker culture, because whatever you know, Run DMC had on their feet. That's what you had to have mm-hmm. to look dope, or whatever Eazy-E had on his feet. Like if he was rocking Jordan 3s, you gotta rock Jordan 3s kind of thing. So it's that revolving door with like sneakers and hip hop. It's just so intertwined together mm-hmm. kind of thing. So it's just there. Like if there's hip hop, it's, you know, there's sneaker culture involved in it. So
yeah, I agree.
So for me, that's the beginnings for me. That's the root from where it all started for me.
And, like, how is it transformed? Because it doesn't stay static. Like, it obviously moves and transforms. So, it's definitely, like, what does it mean for you now?
Now, it's all about, like, pretty much, like, hype.
Yeah?
Hype drives it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, music, obviously, still. Mm-hmm. But, like, the whole hype behind it is driven with hype, so.
And what about you, Alvin? Where did it start or stem from for you?
Definitely stemmed from my... fanboying for the GOAT. That's the
LeBron?
GOAT.
You like LeBron?
No. I said the GOAT.
Tom Brady fan?
Michael Jordan. I mean, comparable. The NFL is Michael Jordan for
Six
sure.
Six rings, baby.
It definitely stemmed from him and wanting to play like him, and me being a child obviously thought if I got the shoes, I could...
And dunk on anybody.
Dunk on man's bust a fadeaway. And then obviously as I grew up, it definitely turned into more of like a hip hop thing, where seeing like my favorite hip hop artist rock like a certain sneaker was like, oh dope, I need that. Mm-hmm. Like literally for me, especially like in the Kanye Cudi era, mm-hmm. seeing him in the 3s and 4s, mm-hmm. I mean,
yep,
with the leather jacket and the faded denims, like, yeah, come on dog.
100%
on that police car.
On the police car in the All the Lights video, bro. That's like entrenched in my mind, bro. That's entrenched in my mind.
I always wear black cement 3.
Yeah, and then like the snippets of him and of Kanye and what was his ex's name?
Oh,
the stripper.
Amber Rose?
Yeah, Amber Rose, when they both were like matching. When they would match his sneakers.
Yeah.
I wasn't really looking at the matching. I was more looking at Kanye's like outfit, but...
And Amber Rose.
I mean, damn, yo. She could have worn any kind of shoe. That would be great.
And what do you think, like I asked Joel before, where do you think it is now? Do you agree? Like, you think it's just hype? Like, do you think there's other things driving it right now? Or you think it's just, it's a culture of hype, essentially?
Yeah. I mean,
Obviously nothing, not for everybody the same, but like the
for right now, it's like hype and price point.
Dollars and cents.
Yeah, dollars and cents. Like if it's if it doesn't have like a collab connected to it, or if it doesn't have like I feel like if the value isn't up there either, people don't want it.
Very true.
Mm-hmm. It'll sit.
Like for me, obviously I'm a little bit just a little bit younger than you guys. And I got in a little bit after you guys too. So for me, like it started just with like my friends. Like when I started working at Foot Locker, like Alvin was like, me and him were friends from very early on, and I had a lot of friends at Foot Locker.
We talked a lot.
Yeah, we did.
About shoes at work.
Yeah, we didn't work very much at work. but it started there, like literally just like learning from like all the people I was working with, and like I wasn't like a misfit per se growing up. Like I had a decent friend group and stuff, but I was moving schools a lot, like didn't have like a thing, you know, everyone has like a thing.
Yeah.
So like when sneakers came around, I was kind of like, this is dope. Like there's a whole backstory, yeah. Like all of these stories, history, and I'm all super into that. And then it kind of turned into like, oh, like I watching basketball, and now I know what these players are wearing. Like I love Kanye and I know what he's wearing. And it kind of just like you guys said, like it just exploded from there. Mm. And it definitely now is just like you guys have said, we have all said time and time again, it's very hype and money driven.
Yeah.
And I guess that Foot Locker's investment kind of personifies that whole thing. Yeah. It's just money at this point.
Yeah.
Like I was having a conversation with, I probably can't even say who it was. But we were just talking about like sneakers and just stuff in general. And he was like, it's just a business. Like it's just business. Like yeah. Everyone's in it just for business. And I could remember even not too recently, like when I was first getting into it like 10 years ago, like you'd walk into a shop and they just want to talk to you, like you just want to chill, like yeah. It's like these places were like safe havens, like these were just like cool people just wanted to talk to you, or sneaker lineups. And now it's like at a sneaker lineup you're just talking about, oh, I already sold it on StockX yesterday, I'm just like coming here to pick up a pair and sell it, or you go into a store and they just want you to buy something. Like no one just wants to chop it up anymore, it seems like, to me.
Yeah.
So it's super business oriented, which of course it is a business, but at some point, like the reason that they're there is the culture.
Yeah.
So why do you guys think that the culture overall is important? Like, I mean, aside from the obvious, but like, can you guys think of any reasons why like we need it?
It's what keeps me going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, aside from the culture that is now, there are still a bunch of individuals who share our mindset.
100%.
In terms of like, you know, collecting sneakers that you like, or you know, the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the hunt,
the thrill of the
for,
hunt
for that specific pair of shoes is definitely a part of the older culture. Yeah. Just because now, man, like I swear, like people could just go up to their moms and their moms will just buy them whatever $5,000 shoe they want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no sense of like having to work for it, look for it, and whatever. I sound like an old fucking sneakerhead, then. Whatever.
We are.
You know what I mean? Like, I grew up in an era where I had to work for my shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Never, like, don't get me wrong, my parents provided what they needed to provide me with, but, like, anything extra was definitely through me doing stuff for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, man. I feel like there's a lot of entitlement nowadays.
Definitely a lot of entitlement.
But I don't know, bro. It's definitely like it's different, but there's also the others that we know or we don't, some people we don't know, but people that still have that older kind of mentality towards collecting sneakers.
Do you think that the culture, like your love, passion, culture, all this stuff kind of stems from like not hardships, but like getting it by yourself?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, definitely, yeah.
Like, I feel like that's a real, like what you said, like the fact that you went out, hustled and were able to buy that pair of kicks, it has a lot more meaning, and meaning is essentially culture. Like it has more meaning, and it becomes an everlasting thing because you have a story behind how you got that shoe. Like I worked, whatever you worked, like 5 straight days at Walmart to go pick up like Black Cat 3s or whatever. Like, like I remember those days when you had the paycheck already lined up before you even got it. Like, you're buying the True Blues this week with the paycheck.
When you're offering, man, it's like yo, I offer you $250, but next Friday. I don't get paid till Friday. So yeah. Is it cool if I hold that? I got $20. If you, I can send you $20 right away. Now.
No, there's not even any sending back then. It was, I'll come give you
$20. Yeah. Like, yo, let's link up. Like, don't even give me the shoes. I'll give you $20 right now. Just hold it for me.
Yeah.
And why do you, what about you, Joel? Like, why do you think it's important? Like, why should people even care is essentially my question. Like, why should brands even care?
About the culture?
Yeah. Why?
It's because, man, it drives us to buy the shoes. Like, you know what I mean?
Do you think it's still driving it though?
I don't know. Like, our shoe haul event, like, the turnout there was unbelievable. Like, the love that we got was unbelievable. Just kicking it was unbelievable. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the whole vibe there was, was crazy.
Dope.
And you could feel the culture at those two events, like, in the last summer. So, the culture's still there, like, in the city, but we just got to keep it going. You know what I mean?
And 100%.
We just can't sell out to GOAT, man. Like, in
I just find it so messed up that can happen. So obviously we've decided the culture has changed. That was my next question. Mm-hmm. So do you think it's changed for the better or for the worse? And I feel like there's an obvious answer and a not so obvious answer, but what do you guys think? Better or worse? Old man, stinger head, about to come back out.
maybe.
What do you think?
Right now, definitely for the worse. Yes. People like we talked about this way, like how many podcasts ago, being a hype beast when hype beast first came out, that wasn't a cool thing to be, fam. Now you have like all these YouTubers, all these like quote unquote sneakerheads saying that, oh, I'm the biggest hype beast. Like, congratulations.
Yeah.
You played yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that wasn't a cool thing back in the day. Like, it wasn't even like a.
That was an insult.
Like, if you call me a hype beast, I'm like, what?
You're throwing down.
That's a beef thing.
Yeah.
I'm stepping on your shoes.
Yeah.
Now people laugh at it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm a hype beast.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Like, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I get it. I got all the new shit. Like, I get, like, cool, man. Like, that's cool. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man.
What do you think, Joel? Better or worse?
We just got to go with it, right?
Yeah. Because,
you know, it's what's being given to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. True.
And, you know, we can't really change nothing about it, but. We just got to keep to ourselves and, like, you know, just keep pushing forward. That's all we got to do.
True story.
You know?
I'm going to play devil's advocate, obviously, because that's why I'm here. I'm going to say it's for the better. Like, take it back. We'll say 5 years ago, but we'll even go further. It's like 10 years ago. We'll talk like 2000 and what is that? Maybe not 2009. We'll say like 2012. Like, Galaxy release, like that year. Like, when stuff really started to pop off. I think that's a fair time to say that the culture started to shift. Before that, you could pre-order shit, all that kind of stuff. How many stores got Galaxy Foamposites when they first came out in Toronto? In Canada, even, I think it was probably 4.
Yeah.
Now we're talking 2000 and whatever year it is, 2029 or whatever. And like, there's how many just regular boutiques in the city now? There's like at least 10. They get releases on a consistent basis. Like, there's, if you go to Yonge and Dundas, you can like literally spit from the middle and hit like 12 different stores. And 10 years ago, it wasn't like that. And that's because the culture has shifted and because people are putting so much money into the brand. They're getting money out of it by reselling it, but they're putting so much money into these brands. And because it's become so widespread and mainstream, that there's access like there was never before in Canada, and specifically Toronto. I don't even want to say Canada because a lot of places in Canada got shit on. Like, Calgary and Vancouver, like, you guys are having really bad. And Montreal. But yeah, like, I think that access and that kind of stuff, like, we have a Jordan store now. Like, that, there's like, what, 3 in the world? Like, that's wild. So, I mean, and the amount of pairs that we get, like, when something cool comes out, it's not like, before it was like, yeah, there's a size run at one store. And now it's like every store is getting 50 to 100 pairs. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that the culture has shifted into a money oriented state. Because if it was 10 years ago, that stuff wouldn't even sell out. Can you imagine getting that many pairs? Like, when we worked at Foot Locker, if we got like 50 pairs of something, we were like, whoa. Now Foot Lockers are getting like 150, 200 pairs of almost every release.
Yeah, man.
What do you guys think? I want to fight about it.
it's saturated.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I can't remember who we were talking with, but it's at a peak.
You think so?
Yeah, it's like up there. Like, it's at a, like, literally everybody's a sneakerhead.
It's true.
Everybody. Which, I mean, hey, man, if you want to get into it, get into it, but get into it properly.
For the right reasons, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Quote unquote. Around yeah. the right reasons. Cause everyone's got their reasons, but, yeah, man, I don't know. It's no longer like a niche.
Yeah. It used to be like, community. I think Joel says it all the time. It used to be like an underground thing.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And now it's like you said, kids asking their parents for $300 so they can go buy very Yeezys.
Yeah.
Like if I ever asked my mom for $300 for a pair of shoes back then, she would have been like, for how many?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you mean?
You're getting 300 like, pairs yeah. of shoes?
Are you getting, exactly. So yeah.
Shoe?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't, like I said, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, because when you look at it, like, as sneakerheads, we think that, as Alvin said, like, we think that we're pretty big, but when you look at that top 10 list of sneakers,
it's like nothing.
We're small, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no hype shoes on that list.
Yeah.
No. Like, think of all the things that us, and we'll say us as sneakerheads, cared about this year. None of them are on that list, except for Concord, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just because they produced a ridiculous amount of pairs. Like, we're small in the grand scheme of things, and the fact that, like, brands are investing in the money side of it, like, it's clear that the culture doesn't really matter to them. Kaya agrees with me. I don't know about you guys. But yeah, that top 10 list of sneakers along with that Foot Locker investment was like very eye-opening to me.
Oh yeah.
Because like, it makes sense though. Like, Foot Locker's not staying afloat because of a release every Saturday.
Yeah,
they're staying afloat because of like
the Gen Pop. Yo.
Yeah.
Just regular ass people just buying whatever they see on the wall and they like. And it's like, it's them not buying a pair every week. It's them buying a pair once every 6 months.
But it's like a bunch. It's like a million people buying one every 6 months. Yeah.
Exactly. A bunch of Tangents every 6 months.
Shit, I think I need a pair of Tangents now. Apparently, that's pretty hype.
Number one,
bro.
Tangent.
I didn't buy any of the shoes on that list. I ain't shit.
Yeah.
Damn. I don't even own Tangents. Man, I'm nothing.
Nah, but I feel like I also see... So, back to the culture thing. I also see kids kind of going retro in terms of, like, not... Because, like, there's so much hype around these certain shoes that I've seen a few kids just try to be different.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what we wanted to do back in the day.
Yeah. We wanted to be different.
We wanted to be different. We wanted to floss, like, in our own way.
The sneaker misfits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I definitely like in the past few like sneaker shows or expos, I guess we've gone to, I mean, looking on the feet and then, cause for me, I always look from the feet up.
Yeah.
So when I see like a pair of Cardinal Sevens and I look up and it's like a 12-year-old kid, I'm like, oh shit.
You're like, damn. Yeah.
Like, yo, what do you know about Cardinal Sevens? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of cool seeing that though, just because like,
for sure, man.
You know what I mean? It's like, he's appreciating the older stuff that doesn't necessarily have too much hype on it.
This kind of goes into like a upcoming question, but that was like perfect. Like, think about like Sean Witherspoon as like a perfect example of this. Like, he is literally like culture, like it's coming out of his body. Like, he exudes culture. If you slice him, it'll just culture will fall out. And he is super into the vintage stuff and the older stuff and really non-hype stuff, to be honest. Like, most of the stuff he wears is like whatever, like older Air Max release or whatever. And vintage is like a huge crazy wave right now. So hopefully that can get spun around. Like, I'm not saying it's quote unquote gonna save the culture, because it doesn't need saving. Like, it's clearly doing perfectly fine. Like, we're getting more shoes than we ever had in our life, and everyone's making more money than they ever had. But maybe spin it back to like not everybody looking the same and everyone going out and trying to look different, and everyone trying to like one up each other, in the sense that you can't one up someone wearing the same shoe as them. Like, I don't know if anyone realizes that. Like, if you're listening, you're not going to one up anybody by standing in line for Off-White ones.
No.
Because 500 other people in that line got it too. Yeah. Like, you're going to one up people by going and searching for that older shit. So I guess it kind of leads into the next thing. Like, how do you think we can maintain it? Actually, even before that, do you think it'll flip back to how it was with storytelling and history and all that kind of stuff, or do you think it's just going to keep going the route it is currently on?
I don't think it'll fully go back to what it was. I don't think it can. I think we're at a point right now where the corporate world won't allow it. just because like they're releasing so many of so many sneakers that again it's like saturated, so it's like you got to kind of pick and choose which one you feel like, for us, like we got to pick and choose which one we feel is
you
know,
like puts it over
worth,
the edge
worth copying. So I don't think it'll I mean, right now I see like, as opposed to just one sneaker culture, it's like
multiple
subcultures within the sneaker community.
I can see that.
But yeah, I definitely see that coming up, but I also see like the corporate side of it still blooming as well.
What do you think, Joel? Is it going to revert back?
Does it even need to?
Like,
I don't know, man, but I think it's all about, it's all up to the buyer's like decision. Like, are they going to like look into the shoe? Are they going to like, you know, Google, you know, when did the shoe drop before? Or like, where did it originally drop? Or when did it originally drop?
Or
like,
why?
You know, or, exactly. Or why? Like, you know, and to like, like when you Google a shoe, are you looking at like the whole history of like what was going on in that time, like with shoes, like in general, not just that one specific shoe, but like with everything else, like the style, everything. Like, are you doing that? Like, you know, I think it all comes down to that, like whether the buyer takes those kind of steps to like, you know,
very true,
get into that kind of culture, if you want to call it. You know what I mean? Like with the whole vintage thing.
Yeah.
You know, that, that shit takes me back.
100%.
100%. Because I used to pop starter tags off of starter jackets. And I used to hang those starter tags, the medallions, off of the back of my starter cap.
Damn.
And that's how we would floss, like, on Lakeshore. Because,
that's how you show people you got bare starter. Yeah,
this guy's got a starter. Like, you know what I mean? But he's got no jacket. But, like, you know,
but still, like, he's in a t-shirt.
We would have those things dangling on our hat. And you know, that's... You know, when people would look at you, they would like, you know, double take at you and be like, yo, that kid knows what's up. Like, you know what I mean? Mm. It's sort of like that kind of thing. And when I see that kind of vintage feel come back, and it's like, you know, that gets me going. Mm. That gets me like, you know, looking back and, you know, like, yo, where can I get this? Or what shop, or how am I going to, how can I get this? Like, you know what I mean? So I don't know. It all depends on like, do buyers do that, do those kind of steps as well? Like, I don't know.
That was like something really interesting that you just said. And I think it's like, in a nutshell, how the culture has changed.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but you said like you would see someone with a starter thing dangling from your cap and you'd be like, this guy knows what's up. When I walk down the street or if I'm downtown and I see a guy wearing a pair of off-white ones or a really cool pair of shoes, my immediate reaction is not, this guy knows what's up.
No, mine either. Not anymore.
And it, not anymore. I think that in a nutshell is like, the culture's gone.
Yeah.
Because if this was 2012 and you seen a guy walking with Galaxy phone posits, you'd be like, damn, this guy knows what's up.
Yeah.
And now it's like, yeah, this guy's a pair of off-white, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, apparently now it's like, you know what's up if you're wearing like older shit.
Yeah.
Because the new stuff, I don't even want to sound hipster. It kind of sounds hipster now that I'm saying it out loud, but like your main, the mainstream stuff isn't what's up in our sense, in our side or our bubble, like Alvin said, of the culture. Like,
because that's where we try to be different now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
You're a sneakster.
not hipster.
Hipster, sneakster. And then, like, what Joel said, too, another, like, in a nutshell of how the culture has shifted, he said, are you Googling, like, to learn about stuff?
Yo.
And, like, that was, like, in the back of the day, that was what we were doing. We were looking stuff up. Like, we're not just looking what's upcoming. And then you see what's upcoming. You're like, okay, True Blues. And you're like, okay, let's look back and see, like, what's it all about? Like, what's how many times
has it come out? Whatever. How did Mike wear them?
How did Mike wear them? Like, what was going on?
Yeah.
Now, if someone's Googling something, they go on their computer, the link that they click is not Jumpman 23, it's StockX.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much is going to go for?
Yeah. Like, that right there, that's like, those two things, like, is like, damn. That's like,
like, I want to know. I personally
want to know. To think about, man.
Yeah. For real, though. Like, who, I want to know who out of the millions of people who purchased Space Jams when they re-release with the 45, know why they're called Space Jams. Or know why it's a 45 or where the 45 came from, or, you know, even know that there's a movie called Space Jam. You know what I mean? Because when they dropped in 2009, I knew I wanted them from way before, like, when Space Jam dropped. And I was like, I need those shoes. When are they dropping?
Yeah, people are calling them Black Concords.
Black Concords, what? Get the... Like, come get out of here, dog. But, like, it's just stuff like that, man. Like...
And it's not to say that you have to know every story behind every shoe, but like,
you could just like something and purchase it.
You can definitely just like something off the wall with maybe it has a story, maybe it doesn't. But if you're influenced by something else other than the story, that's where it becomes hype.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. Like, if you're influenced by the story, you're like, damn, that's really cool. That's the culture. If you're influenced by StockX or shit, like, I'm a floss on my friends. I don't even know what this is, but I know they think it's cool. Mm-hmm. That's hype. Like, there's two different reasons behind ignorance. And one of them is good and one of them is trash. Mm-hmm. So getting down to it, what can or can the culture be maintained, and what can we do to maintain it? Like, is it even possible? Does it matter? Like, our culture, I mean, like, does it need to be pushed forward, or does it make sense that it's a niche now? Because I think that the direction it's going, like you guys said, is, like we all said, dollar and cents. Like,
yeah.
People just care about money. And if there's money in it, then it's going to remain how it is. 100%. Mm-hmm. Like, the driving force behind the sneaker culture right now and in the future will be money and hype and dollars. Mm-hmm. Like, are we even needed at this point? I say we because we're just in that different bubble, I think. Mm-hmm. But, like, do they need us? Do they care? Because I don't think they care.
Yeah, but I also don't care that they don't care.
No, 100%. You know what I mean? Yeah. But they could just stop dropping retros and... Mm-hmm. It wouldn't affect them. None of them were on the list except for Concords, but that's just one pair. Mm-hmm. They could stop dropping retros and just do a bunch of new shit, and they could just phase us out because we probably wouldn't be super into it.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
And then, like, do you think that they need us?
Yeah.
I don't even know if they...
Yeah, and no. I feel like a lot of people look up to Mayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, DJ Clark Kent.
Yeah. DJ Clark Kent.
Perfect Pair.
That's thank you. Yeah, perfect pair. Ryan Swanger.
Ryan Swanger. I'll see you in a day when you listen to this, bro.
So I feel like those guys are definitely older heads who are still into the new stuff.
Yeah.
They're quote unquote influencers, but at the same time, man, like when I see interviews with DJ Clark Kent, when he talks about the sneaker community. He sounds like we sound like him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Like, that's an honor, to be honest.
That's crazy.
We sound like him. Like he's definitely like an older sneakerhead. But I mean, like, at the same time, like, man, like, you still need him in the new 100%. Culture to be able to. I feel like anything that drops still needs validation from us.
Oh, yeah.
If that makes any sense.
I agree. Yeah. Mm. And when you say us, you mean like the culture side of it.
Yeah.
Like the history side of it. Like, you need to still touch something else. Like, even when Off-White Ones came out, it still touched a nerve with older heads because you're like...
Like, it still needed...
deconstructed. It had a little bit of a story. It was super hype because it's Off-White and Virgil, but it touched
Virgil
us.
Still had that story for
he
it.
He had it, and Virgil's like part of the culture as well. Like, so yeah, you're right about that. So that's
true. Like, you still need us for validation, but at the same time... with us being now, I guess, like a subculture within
a culture,
the culture, and our culture being that, like, we still appreciate the stories, we still appreciate the
non-money side of it, essentially.
Exactly. I find that we do a really good job in terms of finding others like us. Not just us individually, but us as Canada Got Soul as a whole.
And others find a good job or do a good job of finding us as well.
Yeah.
The other way around. Yeah. Because we surround ourselves and people surround themselves with like-minded people. Individuals. Which is dope. Very true.
So I feel like for us, if we want to uphold it and we want to keep going, we just got to support each other and continue to harness that. You know what I mean? Like...
For sure.
Because then that clique or group or whatever subculture is going to grow and grow and grow. It's kind of like a cycle, I guess.
We're going to stick around, you know what I mean? And then we'll eventually influence the one or two. Like, it might not be as big of a number as the corporate culture of it.
But
we'll still influence the one or two people who will actually still appreciate our side of things.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So, sometimes people just need to be introduced to it because we were just... living it when it was happening.
Yeah.
And now people who are being introduced to the sneaker game now don't know the other side of it. Yeah. So it's not that their fault that they're ignorant to the fact that there's a story.
No.
Yeah. They're just surrounded by individuals or the culture in general, like all the blogs and stuff. Like, are just talking Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Do people still use Facebook? The Facebook. They're influenced in a not negative, but in a different way than we were.
Yeah.
So I guess, it just takes a lot more people getting out there and sharing their stories. And I think it can definitely not flip around because it's going its path and it's going to keep going that way.
I'll be honest. So that's why I love this New Balance thing that we're doing.
Oh, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's literally bringing out the true New Balance heads.
The contest scene, right?
Yeah. Like in our community.
Yeah. Some of them are low-key New Balance heads too. They just kind of popped up out of nowhere. Like,
what? Was it Falsey?
Yeah, just out of nowhere, bro.
What?
Yeah, what's up, Falsey?
Yeah, but that's cool, man. Like stuff like that. Like if we can have more stuff like that just to help bring out the quote unquote true heads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
That's dope, man. Yeah, man. Diversity, that's why I got really amped. Diversity. Yeah.
You know?
So what do you think brands can do to maintain the culture? So obviously what Foot Locker is doing is to me a step back, not a step back, a step sideways into the wrong lane, we'll say. Mm-hmm. Not back, not forward, sideways, going in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. If they even said it was just an investment, I would have been like, okay, that's whatever. Like they just want to make some money. But they say partner and that kind of puts me off because it's like, I don't know about that. What do you think brands can do to maintain the culture, push it forward? What can brands, shops, like anybody, sneaker media, whatever, what can they do? Like, I think one of the main things, we've talked about this before, but bots, like people buying stuff with bots. At the end of the day, the brand doesn't care because their shit is selling out. Mm-hmm. So the only reason that they would have to want to stop bots in the first place would be for the culture. Mm-hmm. They want people who want to be honest. Like, honest is really loosely used, I guess. Like, you're not dishonest if you're using a bot, but the traditional way, so they can buy it and hopefully wear it like a regular Joe would. So to me, like, stopping bots and that kind of stuff, like, even first come, first serve, I think, maintains the culture in a sense. When stores, because a lot of stores do raffles, and for the same reason, they do raffles because dollar and cents, it costs a lot of money to do a raffle. Like, it's not just buying raffle tickets. Like, it's a lot more than that. It takes, imagine you get 150 pairs. You have to call 150 winners. That's a day.
Yeah.
Like, you have to fill out raffle ballots for two full days, pretty much. You have to field calls for two full days. You have to, like, sort out the winners. Like, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. And if you do first come first serve, it's even more. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to maintain a line. You have to come in early. You have to deal with stuff that you don't care about. Like, really, like, this guy bud me. Okay, I'm still going to sell the shoe. Like, it's for the culture. The reason you wanted to get into the person who was there first. Like, I think first come first serve is a great way to maintain culture. And, like, it feeds relationships. Like, anytime we've lined up or I've lined up or whoever has lined up, I know for a fact you've made a friend, at least one, that you didn't have beforehand. Mm-hmm. Or you've made a connection with somebody that is probably still a friend to this day, or you have a story or whatever. And that to me is culture. So I think as it sounds small, but stuff like that, like first come first serve or stopping bots or canceling bot orders or whatever it is a great way for brands or shops to maintain the older culture or the culture. I don't even know what we're going to call it. The subculture of culture. What do you guys think? Anything else to add to that?
Yeah, definitely, like, the whole lineup thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when we used to line up.
Bro, those were the times.
Yeah, man. Those were good because we would chop it up with, like, different people. That's how we met Shaheen.
That's how we met so many people, man. And like I said, still friends to this day.
Yeah, man. So it's like, keep that going. Yeah, definitely that for sure. I can't even think of anything else, man.
Yeah, no.
No?
Me neither. I mean, I feel like it's up to the shops to do their thing. Because clearly the brands themselves just, if it sells, it sells. They don't care how it sells.
Yeah, pretty much.
But it's up to like the mom and pop shops or like the boutiques, to be able to keep it alive and from on their end.
Definitely agree with, So it starts at the bottom.
Yeah. What's that shop that you were telling me that with the Yeezy drop, you had to come in with like an album or something?
Yeah. That was Exclusivity back in the day.
Yeah. Like so, do something like that. Like,
just fun shit, man.
The whole history behind like the shoe.
Anything. Yeah. Like it's just a little bit of education. Yeah, or like when the South Beach Nines dropped at that store, you had to wear a pair of LeBrons to go line up. Like,
see what I mean? Yeah.
Something like that to get stuff in the hands of, like I said, there's no right people, but like people who will really appreciate it and not appreciate the flip. Mm-hmm. So I guess to kind of round it out, because this is what it's essentially about. Do you think that consignment or secondary markets like StockX or GOAT help the culture or hurt the culture?
My perspective's changed.
Yeah.
Because I feel like when we first started this podcast, it was like, yo, fuck up on man who's our reseller.
Yeah.
Now it's just like, you know what? Like, it's giving people opportunities. Like, a lot of people we know who've been hunting for a specific shoe for so long, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. it's been giving them opportunities to be able to attain that specific shoe.
Yep.
More specifically, like reseller like Netmeg.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, he always finds, like, gems or like Buddha Kicks or like whoever else, yeah. like Lucan Closet or whatever.
All of these guys.
They always find the gems, and it's just like some of them, yeah, are crazy priced. But listen, like if you want to, if you really wanted that shoe for this long and you're willing to pay for it, then
by all means,
do your thing, man. Yeah. Like it is what it is, right? So it's kind of helping the culture in that sense.
I agree. Yeah. What about you?
Same thing too, man. It keeps, I don't know, it's, we just got to go with it, right?
Yeah. Because
that's how the game is now. So. Love it or hate it, it's there, right?
Yeah,
and you know, just like with my Sean Waterspoons, like
that's the reason you were able to get it.
I had to flip like two pairs just to get the one pair, and you know, it's sacrifices and whatnot, but you got to do.
So. Yeah, like I can honestly say that I wish in 2012 we had this kind of access like we do now, like to sneaker resale shop. There's like how many consignment shops just in Toronto? Let alone like online platforms. Like it's crazy.
Yeah.
So like the fact that like when I was buying shoes like crazy back in early 2010s, bro, I would have like cleaned out those stores.
Yo, like in Calgary, they have like Lex Ave in the mall.
Yeah. Like that's nuts. Yeah.
That's a consignment shop.
That's crazy.
Did you guys see, shout out to Andy, first of all, he's opening Plus at Yorkdale.
Yorkdale, yeah.
That's a big move. That's really cool.
That's sick.
Shout out to Andy from Tame Toronto and Frappa, if Frappa listens to this. but yeah, I think that consignment and resale shops definitely don't hurt. They definitely help the community because without it, we'd be screwed.
Yeah, man.
If I had to rely on Kijiji, I'd be...
You're essentially paying extra for the store to hold that pair for you so you can afford it.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
It's like a layaway without being a layaway.
Yeah, they don't know, but you know it.
Yeah.
But yeah, do you guys have anything else you want to add about culture? You guys have any closing remarks? I think that was a good constructive conversation.
Yeah, man, that was good, man.
Yeah, you're good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you to everyone who has supported and or been a part of this podcast. Wherever you're taking in this episode, please leave a comment, review, follow, and or subscribe. We have a Facebook group called CGS Talk. We like to use it as a forum, sell some stuff, connect with you guys, all that kind of stuff. That is facebook.com/groups/CGS.talk. We also have a website where we have our reviews, recap stories, much, much more. We have our True to Size episodes up on there now, so you can listen to them straight from the website.
Yes.
That is canadagotsoul.ca. If you have any questions or suggestions for any of our segments, like the Soul Poll, Sneaker Heading for Dummies, the Fire Round, or you just want to talk because Alvin likes to respond to emails, shoot us a DM or email us at canadagotsoul@gmail.com. Don't forget to use hashtag Canada Got Soul for a feature on Instagram too. I have been Lawrence Hopkins, your host. You can find me at LDoggyStyles on Instagram. Woof.
Yeah, I'm Joel Hernandez.
Forgot
about who I was.
Joe Dooney, JO_D3OsNEY.
I am Alvin Quinn C, and you can find me at MISTERQ and then Mart.
And I've been already said that. And we. I was used to going last before.
We
have been Canada Got Soul. Thank you for listening to us talk about sneakers. Please do not forget to rock your kicks. We have been Canada Got Soul. And we are out. Peace. You hosted last week and now I'm out of rhythm.
Trudy came out.
Damn. Good thing I pressed record. That was a good episode.